The reading today is Psalm 34, and that's page 561 of your Bibles. Of David, when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away and he left. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems his servants. No one will be condemned who takes refuge in him.
Thank you, Daniel. Morning, everyone. Morning. It's lovely to be here. Let me pray for us. Lord, we thank you for your written word. And we pray this morning that we would find Jesus, your living word, in it. Lord, give us ears to hear, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Traditional sticks of rock in our seaside towns have the name of the town written in the middle. And so wherever you bite, well, if you dare to bite it, because probably you'll bring a few fillings out, but wherever you bite or cut the stick of rock, you'll always find the name of the town without fail. Now, if you and I were like sticks of rock and our lives were opened up, what would be written in our innermost being that speaks of who we are, what motivates us, what we live for? David says at the start of this Psalm 34, it's on page 561, it'd be helpful if you follow it probably. He says that he will always thank the Lord. He will never stop praising him. Everything within him wants to boast in the Lord, to glorify him, to speak of what he's done and how great he is. So it made me think that if you cut David like a stick of rock, you would find that God's name and his praise would be written throughout David's life and his character, making him the person that he is. David was described as a man after God's own heart, and that would be written in every fiber of his being. And I'm pretty sure that would not be true of me. As we look at Psalm 34 this morning, we're going to look at two insights and two invites. That's going to be how we're going to look at this psalm. So the first insight that we find is when we are rescued by God, we are to celebrate together. The setting of this psalm is about David, is that David has just escaped with his life. Daniel read the heading, and sometimes the heading of the psalms give a little bit of the background as to why that psalm was written, and you can read more about it in 1 Samuel 21. King Saul is still on the throne, but David has been anointed as the next king chosen by God. And Saul is becoming more and more jealous and threatening, and David has fled for his life. As he flees, he seeks political refuge with another king, but he finds that his reputation has gone before him, and so he is once more in danger. So he acts in a way that makes it look like he is unstable and unpredictable. And so he is simply driven out of the town, which in fact saves his life. This psalm glows with the relief and thankfulness of someone who has escaped a situation that could have cost him his life. God has been at work and rescued him and deserves the praise. We see David's joy. He has sought the Lord and been answered. He's been delivered. His face is radiant. He can stand tall. He's been very afraid, but despite the danger, he has been delivered from his fear. This poor man called, he says of himself in verse 6, and the Lord heard him and saved him from his troubles. This was my experience and it can be yours, he says to his people. The angel of the Lord, another way of talking about God himself on earth, the angel of the Lord encamps around or guards those who honor God and rescues them. It's this personal testimony of God's rescue. And he asks the people, the congregation, to join in with him. In verse 3, he says, glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Join with me, he says. Rejoice with me. I have a God, David says, who has not let me down. Rejoice with me. What he's done for me, he can do for you. You too are safe in his hands. This is a psalm of personal testimony of God's rescue. David shares it, and the whole congregation is encouraged to join him in thanking God. There is power in testimony, in people telling their stories of how God has worked in their lives. If you haven't already, read some Christian biographies, perhaps Brother Andrew, who took Bibles across borders into countries where it was illegal to read the Bible. Or Corrie ten Boom, who saw God at work even in the Nazi concentration camps. But there are also many here who can testify to God's rescue in everyday life. And I've asked Tanya to come and just share a quick story when she felt that she called on God and he provided rescue.
Hello?
Yep.
So I've got one really brief one that's more recent, and it's actually God gave me the verse that Joy's just quoted from this psalm. When I was preparing for the church weekend, many of you know I organised it for October 2021, and it was already delayed a year from 2020. And then, of course, as October approached, the COVID cases were going up and up. And, of course, I was thinking, oh, no, here we go again. And I was praying and praying. And then one of my readings, when I was praying about it, God really, I think I was reading the psalm, and this verse just jumped out at me, and I felt it was a promise from God. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. And I just knew God was going to protect us, and he did. We didn't have a single COVID case over the church weekend. So that's a recent one. And then when Joy first asked me, I was thinking, rescue, I know he's got me out of loads of situations. Many of them when I was younger, traveling on my own. I interrailed when I was 20, so a student, and I had contact all over Europe. So I was on my own, but visiting people. And this particular time, I was heading into Spain, and I speak French and German, and I've been comfortable up to then. I don't speak Spanish. And I was in one of these, it was at night, and I was in a compartment. I don't know if you know European trains, you're kind of, there's a corridor, and then you're in separate compartments. And these youths got on, boys, and I was the only girl, and I think they were a bit older than me, might have been slightly drunk, it was night. And I just felt really uncomfortable, and they were being loud and whatever. And then at one point, one of them got a knife out, and they started defacing the train, you know, cutting out the seat numbers, and just, and I thought, what do I do? You know, my rucksack was up high, it wasn't easy for me just to, and also, because you're given seat numbers, I didn't know where else I'd be able to go, so I was a bit stuck. And I just prayed, God, what do I do? Please keep me safe. And I didn't think I was going to get any sleep. And then I didn't know that the train was going to stop again, but the train stopped again. And a Spanish girl came into my carriage and sat next to me. And she spoke English, and she obviously spoke Spanish. And she was able just to talk to these youths and diffuse the situation. And I felt safe and protected. She was my angel. Thank you.
Thanks, Tanya. Are we good at sharing what God has done for us and then celebrating it together? Let's encourage one another with stories, however small, of how God has helped us. And let's be glad together for that evidence of his presence with us. And let's not forget the most important rescue of all, the way God in Jesus came to this earth, shed his blood on the cross for our sin, so that we might be reconciled to God again. Let's never tire of this good news. Let's celebrate it together, week by week. Let's share our own stories of how we became followers of Jesus. Maybe over coffee today, you might have a story of rescue you could share. So that's the first insight from this passage. When we are rescued by God, we should celebrate it together. And the second insight is this: when we are in trouble, we especially benefit from his care. The second half of this psalm reads more like the book of Proverbs, some wise sayings that, if they're heeded, will bring life. And verse 15 onwards focuses a lot on the righteous. They're referred to in every other verse. It's about being upright and true, but it's not about those who lead perfect lives with faultless characters. The righteous are the people of God who acknowledge that he is king. And for us today, the righteous are those who know Jesus and want to follow him and are willing for him to be Lord of their lives. The righteous are people who know their need for forgiveness and who come back to God again and again to say sorry, so as to continue to live in a right relationship with him. For God's rescue to be yours, you have to turn to him and turn away from your wrongdoing to walk in his way. If you are a Christian here today, you are righteous, right with God through the work of Jesus on the cross, through God's grace. And look how his grace abounds towards us, particularly in times of trouble. In these verses, we see his eyes are on us. He hears our cry. His face is towards us. He delivers us from trouble. He protects us. He is ready to answer us. He takes our prayers seriously. But it's worth noticing that he is not saying that those who follow the Lord won't have troubles, but that God is with us in them. In verse 19, we read, "A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all." Deliverance may come now, or it may come beyond death. It will come. But we have never been promised that we will live a trouble-free life in this world. I once read that what we consider unanswered prayer is often about something that God never promised us in the first place. Be wary of a brand of Christianity that says that you can expect your troubles to go away if you follow Jesus, or that you can expect health and wealth, that you have a right to expect these things, or that you can expect these things if you have enough faith. Jesus himself was very clear in John's gospel. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. When we are in trouble, we especially benefit from God's care. And look at verse 18, which is such a precious verse. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. If you feel that your heart has been broken, perhaps because of a relationship gone wrong with a child or in a marriage, or broken because of the shock of a bereavement, or perhaps your spirit is crushed because life hasn't turned out as you hoped, but more as you feared, that you have little hope to lift you, and each day feels an uphill struggle, and where God is in it all is so hard to know. Hear today, here in this passage, that the Lord is near. It's got that sense of being close enough to touch. He is close to you. And he is a mender and a restorer. And as Psalm 147 puts it, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. If you've lost hope, are crushed, are vulnerable, he is in fact close to you. He knows and hears and rescues and protects. So do reach out to him. So our second insight is that when we're in trouble, we especially benefit from God's care. So those are our two insights. And now we have two invites. And the first invitation to you and me is in verse 8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. It's a lovely picture of encouraging someone who is a reluctant eater to give something a go, to try it. Probably many of us have tried to get children to taste something new, like broccoli or curry or kiwi fruit. You can't say you don't like something until you've truly tasted it and given it a good go. Here is an invite to us to consider a relationship with God, like a cook urging a reluctant eater to try something out. We're invited to sample God and his protection. And the psalmist is absolutely confident that we will only find God to be good, and that turning to him and taking refuge in him will bring us blessing. Take a step towards trusting God. Try him out. Taste and see. Trust him. Have reverence for him. As verse 9 puts it, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. There's a very old hymn based on this psalm. You might know it, all through all the changing scenes of life. And that hymn has a line that says, straight from this psalm, fear him, ye saints, and you will then have nothing else to fear. It's not a naive belief that God, that life will be plain sailing, but that you will lack nothing that you need. Trusting God never goes unrewarded. Even a lion, in verse 10 says, that self-sufficient hunter, even he may go hungry at times. But if you seek the Lord, aware of your need of him, you will be provided for. Here is the invite for us this morning. Taste and see. Have you taken that step and decided to taste and see that the Lord is indeed good and to be trusted? Take the time to sample Jesus, to look into his character. At the back today on the welcome desk, there are some copies of Why Jesus. Do take one home and read it. Many of us here believe that you will find that he won't let you down. He can be trusted with the struggles of your life. If you decide today that you would like to respond to this invitation, do let me or Jackie know. We would love to pray with you. And if you've already tasted that the Lord is good, as 1 Peter urges, make sure that you grow up in your salvation by making sure that you are fed spiritually, in learning with others, perhaps in a small group, perhaps by joining us on our prayer course that we've planned for the autumn. Perhaps in your own times with God, keep on seeking the Lord so that you will lack no good thing. Taste and see. That's the first invite we find here. And then the second is in verse 11. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Having tasted and seen and found that true life is found in a proper relationship with God and in acknowledging Him, we're invited to hear how we should live our lives as God's people, in accordance with His will and out of reverence for Him. We see here that the good that we desire goes hand in hand with the good that we do. If we love life and want to see good days, verse 12 says, then we also have to do good, says verse 14. Or as Peter used this very psalm to demonstrate, if we want to receive a blessing, then we must be a blessing. If we want God to protect us from other people, then we need to do all that we can to be the kind of people whose own relationships with others are in good shape. We must guard our speech, knowing that what we say can really harm others, whether that's lies or hurtful things. As the book of James says, the tongue can corrupt the whole person and affect the whole course of someone's life. We must watch what we say. And we must pursue peace, driven not by our own ambition and selfish concerns, but resolving differences as best we can and chasing after other people's well-being. As Romans 14 says, we must always aim at those things that bring peace and that help to strengthen one another. So, in Psalm 34, let's remember those two insights. When we are rescued by God, we are to celebrate together, to share what's happened, build each other up, and be thankful back to Him. And when we're in trouble, we especially benefit from His care. He's particularly watchful for those who need His help. And let's remember that we are invited to taste and see, to find out that the Lord is good, to seek Him and take refuge in Him. And having done so, we're invited to come and to live in a way that honors Him. Let's pray. Lord, please speak to each of us today how to respond to your word. For some of us, that may be tasting and seeing that you are good for the first time, or just being reminded of that, coming to trust you. For others of us, may we come and learn and live. Look at how we live and live for you. Please lead us on, we pray. Show us our next steps. In Jesus' name, amen.